Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
God just blew me away during that time of worship just now. Just because he's just confirming all of what he's been speaking to me to share tonight through song. He's been confirming, and I don't know if they realized that or knew that, but you'll catch it, I think. And keep in mind what we just sung, safe and secure in the everlasting arms. Just keep that in mind, because they sang that song, and they had no idea what God spoke to me this morning. And I believe it's a prophetic word for you all to hear tonight. And so as I was in my prayer time this morning, I just was seeking God's face. And yesterday, man, God answers prayer. If you don't know that, God answers prayer. I literally have been praying just recently, too, for opportunities to preach. And even during worship, God reminded me of being in a top bunk in a teen challenge program about 8 years ago. Where God started to deal with me. I knew nothing of the Word of God. I knew nothing of the Word of God. And I was laying in that top bunk, and I remember the Lord started speaking to me specific verses and chapters out of Scripture that I knew nothing of. I didn't even know the names in the books of the Bible. And God spoke to me and led me, and I said, okay, well, I need to find that. And I'm laying in my top bunk, and he leads me to Ephesians 3:7. And 2 weeks into Teen Challenge, this was 2 weeks out of being a drug addict, God starts speaking to me that I'm going to preach the gospel. Now, how does that work? That doesn't make sense, really. And for me, I was like, I know this is God. There's no way I can deny that this is him, because how would I know where to go? And it's specifically about preaching. And God just reminded me of that tonight in the worship, and just reminded me of that moment. And it was just precious for God to remind me and take me back to that. Because honestly, this is my calling right here. My calling right now is Teen Challenge. But my heart is always, I guess, for evangelism. It's always for preaching the word, man. I love preaching. I love praying and seeking God's face to see what his word is for a certain specific time and a certain specific group of people. And tonight, I believe that God's going to deliver. He gave me something, and I want to share that with you. Now, yesterday, and why I get back to how God answers prayer, I've been praying for opportunities to preach because this is what I love to do. And I was actually preparing yesterday morning to preach at chapel at Teen Challenge last night. And so I'm like in the middle of preparing one sermon, and I get a call from somebody from another church saying, hey, we're wondering if you can come preach at our church. Would you be willing to do that? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I've been praying for opportunities, so here we go. And then no sooner, and probably about 3 hours later, I'm on my way, to the center, to Teen Challenge. And then I get a text from Christy at The Voice saying, hey, can you preach? And yes, I was reading my text while driving. I'm bad at that. Forgive me. But I looked and I said, man, there it is again, God, you're on it. And I'm like thinking, I haven't even got through this sermon tonight, and you're already calling me to do a bunch more. And I'm just like, at first I was like, man, my flesh was saying, that's too soon. How am I going to do that? And then I was like, you know what, God, I prayed for this. This is an answer to prayer. I need to obey, and this is an open door for you. And so I'm going to take hold of it. And so as I was pulling into the grounds of Teen Challenge, I was thinking, God, what do you want me to speak on? And all I heard was the sustaining power of the Lord, the sustaining power of the Lord. And that was what I heard. And so I said, okay, well, that sounds good. And so I started to pray into it. This morning I started to pray into it mostly. I want to share this. Let me pray first, actually. And I'm going to share this. Before we get into the scripture, before we get into what God's laid on me, I definitely believe that God spoke a prophetic word to me this morning in my prayer time. I was just like, all right, Lord, I'm going to be obedient and write this down. And if you listen to it, it lines up with the Word of God. There's nothing off about it. And I just think this is for us tonight, for us to hear this, for us to take this in, and take it for what it is. And again, whenever you get something like a prophetic word spoken over you, it's up to you to pray about it. It's up to you to let the Holy Spirit and you bear witness with what I'm saying. And if what I'm saying is true and from the Lord, then it's going to bear witness with your spirit of what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. That's why you have the Holy Spirit in you, to confirm. But let me pray. Father, I love you. I thank you, God, that you are just so awesome, God, and you never cease to amaze. Your works are wonderful. Your ways are perfect, God. And Lord, you work with imperfect people, though you yourself are perfect. And I thank you, God, that you choose people out of sin, God, to save them, to introduce them to Jesus. And that through that, we can have freedom from sin. Father, we can truly find our calling in life, our purpose, Lord. And I stand here as a man pulled from sin who has been revealed the calling that's on the life right here, God. You've revealed the calling. And so, Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that there are people in this place right now that are called by you, Father, that have a purpose, that have a place in your kingdom, and not just a place in your kingdom, Lord, but a specific role in your kingdom. And I pray tonight, God, that your word comes forth, that your word, God, speaks to us and helps us, Lord. And Father, I thank you, God, that your word is true and we can trust in it. And so, Father, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me read to you what the Lord spoke to me. So again, the sustaining power of the Lord. And this is what God said. I wrote this down. I will sustain my church through the trial that lies ahead. Men's hearts will fail due to fear, but I will never fail. Now here's the part that blew me away, because they had no idea of what this was going to say in the song that they ended on. Make my son's arms your place of refuge and shelter, and you will never go astray. And that song was all about leaning on the everlasting arms of Christ. Sin and wickedness shall increase in the earth, but so shall my spirit be poured out in greater measure. I am searching for those that are willing to empty their hearts of self so that I may fill their cup. Take a hold of my promises and let them be your life support. Anxiety shall become like weight on the hearts of men. You are called to cast your cares on me because I care for you. I am preparing a church to be spotless and blameless at my coming. It is time for extreme measures to be taken in order to pursue holiness. If you are willing to take this risk, I am willing to empower you to carry it out. Amen. And that's the end of what God spoke to me this morning. I believe that is for you. Everybody under the sound of my voice, that is for me. And again, as I say this, it's up to you and it's up to the Holy Spirit to bear witness in you. And what you do with the prophetic word is all on you. We can take it, we can run with it, we can take a hold of it, and we can let it work in our lives and let God really produce something through that. But this is a day and age we live in where sin is rampant, sin is increasing. The all out blatant sin. It's just out there. It's in your face now, everywhere you go. And really, we're at that place in time where what's evil is called good and what's good is called evil. And we're stepping into an age where, you know, there's already persecution going on. And this is something that we don't, you know, necessarily talk about a ton, but it's coming, man. And God is going to use persecution, I firmly believe, to separate the true from the faithless believer. Because lots of people proclaim Christianity, proclaim to follow Christ. A lot of us say a lot of stuff. But again, persecution, it's going to be the sword, man, the sword that divides and really cuts into. I believe that. And you see it happening all over. I mean, you see it happening in the Middle East with ISIS. And you see it happening on our own home turf now. These terror attacks and in different countries and in Brussels and the one in Paris. Like, you see this happening. It's unfolding before our very eyes. And again, it's evil manifesting. That's all it is. It's evil manifesting itself on this earth. And it's growing. And God, you know, with words like this, it's God saying, be prepared for trial. Be prepared for what's coming ahead, because you are going to need to be prepared. You can't go into this thing unprepared. You are going to need my power to carry out the task I have given you for this time. And we can't do it without the Holy Spirit's power. We cannot. We are weak in this flesh, and without his presence, without his spirit speaking, without his spirit leading, without his spirit giving us everything we need for this life and for godliness, we fail. In our best efforts, we fail. We need God. We need God. Amen. Continuing on, I really believe that God's desire for this age that we're in the church is for believers to be lost in his power over us in our lives and through our lives. He wants us to be immersed, to be lost in the very presence, the very power that he gives us. Acts 1:8 says what? Guess what? That you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, that's in regards for witnessing, to go out and to be witnesses. But guess what? That's what we need to do in this day and age, because we're living in a dying world. And we have this hope and we have this treasure laid up for us in heaven. And it is our job, it is our duty to take and carry the power of God to people that are lost and dying and don't hear the gospel message. And maybe they're unloved and hurting and broken. And that's who Jesus came for. Jesus even said that. He didn't come for the healthy, he came for the sick. That's who needs a doctor, is the sick people. And honestly, man, I'm guilty of this, is that I can sit in the church pew and I can preach a message, but sometimes I fail in my day-to-day walk to go tell people about Christ and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to stop and to pray for somebody. And if God speaks a word to me to stop my busyness, busyness is such an enemy of our walk with God. We get so caught up in busyness and technology and got to do this and to-do lists and scheduling. And we get lost in all of that and we miss that the power of God wants to work through us to reach out to lost sinners. And we miss it. We miss it. But God wants for his church in this age to stand up, to be an Acts 1:8 church, to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be full of his power, and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That's what he desires. And he's looking for those that are willing. It takes a willingness to do this. We can't sit back and expect God to do everything. God will enable us to do what we need to do, but we can't expect him to do everything. That's why he put us here, so that we could be called out of the world, and then we can go and tell the world about what we've been called out of and the need for a Savior. Now, we can be rest assured that God's power will increase in our lives as we see sin more blatant and as temptation rises. Again, I'll repeat this, that we look on the earth, we look at everything that's going on, and this is scriptural, is that sin and wickedness is increasing. But guess what? Where sin and wickedness increases, so does his grace. Amen. And his grace is on his church in this hour to stand up against sin in love. We cannot tolerate sin. God does not tolerate sin. And honestly, there's many, 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 many churches that will tolerate sin all in the name of love. That is not love, that is weakness, and you're scared to confront somebody about what they're doing. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. And I believe that to be correct. And later on, if you want to correct me if I'm wrong, please feel free. I'll hear you out. But we're not to tolerate sin and wickedness. We are to tell people and love people into the kingdom. Don't get me wrong. That's how you get nothing else but love to work for me. Nobody could boss me around. Nobody could say, oh, man, you're a horrible drug addict, Derek. You need help. You know, come on into the kingdom because you're so screwed up. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to gently, in the spirit of meekness, it says, restore people to Christ. There has to be humility in our hearts to go up to somebody, but there also has to be Holy Spirit boldness. Because sin is something crazy. It's a monster. That's what it is. When you go to confront sin and point out something to somebody in love, guess what? It's a monster rearing its ugly head to say, oh no, that is not how I am. It doesn't matter. There is no standard for morality anymore. I get to do what I want, and that's what everybody else says, so that's what I'm going to follow. But that's not the case. The case is we have absolute truth right here. And how blessed are we that we get to have Bibles? There's places that would die to have this right here. And we have a million of them, a study Bible at that. And people are literally just craving to have the Word of God. And we have this moral standard right here in front of us. And we have to stand up. You know, honestly, if you really truly think about it, the church is supposed to be the standard. Our lives are supposed to influence this society. And so I have to question if this society has fallen so deep into sin, into just gross, all-out immorality, is it our fault? Is it the church's fault because we haven't stood up and played our part like we should? If we truly took the power of God like we're supposed to and witnessed to people and prayed for people and released the kingdom of heaven on earth, then people are going to get saved. People are going to say, yeah, I need that. When we testify of what God's done in our life, there's power behind that. We all have a testimony. We've all come from different places. Some of you maybe have never done drugs, but guess what? You're still a sinner. You were still saved by grace through faith, not by your own works, but by His work on the cross. And yet you have a testimony because you were guilty before an almighty God of sin, and now because of Jesus' sacrifice, you get to step out and say, no longer am I a slave to sin. No longer am I bound by sin. I am free because of Jesus Christ. And that's the testimony, no matter where you came from, that each and every one of us holds. If you know Jesus. Amen? That's awesome. That's something to get excited about, man. That's so awesome. Man, Colossians 1:11 simply says this: may you be strengthened with all power according to His might for endurance and patience with joy, is the way my Bible reads. It's an ESV. You be strengthened with power, and because you're strengthened with power, it's all according to His might. The strength, the power, it belongs to the Lord, yet He disperses it to His people so that we can walk through. We can endure. The way I take this is that we get to endure and be patient through testing. And God gives us power to do that. And we also get to do that, it says, with joy. So we're not simply enduring and being patient, but we get to do it with joy because of the power that is poured out on us in our testing through the things we face in this life, through the temptation of sin. We have power according to His might to walk through anything and to do it with endurance and patience and with joy. Amen. Now, we've all gone through tough stuff. We've all experienced times in our life where, in our Christian faith even, where we go through these times and we don't feel like God's power is working in us or working through us, or that God's power is not in our life, and we're concerned and we're praying and we're seeking. We're not giving up, but we are kind of losing heart a little bit. And I've been there plenty of times. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but I have. And the thing that happens is I have to fall to my knees and cry out to a living God for His power to work in me because I'm weak. God, I'm weak, and without You, I can't do anything. That's what He said. Apart from me, You can do nothing. And so as soon as I start to take up my own strength and start to do things in my own will and start to put my hands on things a little bit too much, then everything seems to fall apart. And the trial is tough. And as I'm not allowing the power of God to work through me and work in me, I'm weak and I'm helpless and I feel beaten down. But Scripture says we won't be destroyed. We may go through some stuff, but we will not completely be destroyed. We're going to go through some stuff. There's going to be some testing, some trials. But God is faithful. His power to work in you and in your life is faithful. All right, if you have your Bibles, go to Isaiah chapter 40. I want to read through some verses starting in verse 10. So Isaiah 40, verse 10. We're going to read from verses 10 through 14. And then if you can be awesome with me, you can jump to verse 21, and then we'll read from 21 to 31. Everybody got that? If you got your Bibles? If not, oh, they're not up on the screen. You can listen. So Isaiah 40, starting in verse 10, says, "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. Now, the awesome thing is when God spoke this prophetic word to me, again, he confirmed it with this song up here, but then this verse popped out at me, and I'm like, oh, Lord, because he led me here, and I didn't even realize that that verse said that until I got to it. And this was after God had already spoken that word to me to share with you. And it says this, he will tend his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? He's asking some questions. Who did that? Well, the answer is nobody. Nobody did that. He already had all that. He didn't need anybody to counsel him. He didn't need anybody to instruct him on how to do things. God is God, and God has it handled, and we just have to line up with it and say yes to it. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. Jump over to verse 21. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. This is our almighty creator, our almighty savior. He sits enthroned. He sits enthroned in heaven. He sits on the circle of the earth and looks down at the inhabitants of the earth, and they're merely grasshoppers to him. This really just magnifies who God is, this scripture. It shows his awesome power, his awesome majesty, his awesome power as creator, as king. He's over all. He has it in his control. And that's one thing we need to take in tonight is that he has it in his control. Stop trying to take control of things and let Jesus do it. Because he has all of this under his power, under his control. And so how easy is it for him to have you under his power and to operate in you and move through you? It says verse 24, scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. And this is in reference to the princes and the rulers of the earth. They come and go, and Jesus sets them up and gets rid of them if he wants to. And again, that he's in control. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. And again, this just speaks to the majesty of Christ, the majesty of the Father, the majesty of the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead, the three in one, the almighty creator. It's awesome when you think about that. None of us can do that. You understand that? I don't think any of us can call the stars out by name and make sure that they're in place where they're supposed to be. I don't think any of us, by our word, can hold this universe together, which he does. I don't think by our own word we can really hold anything together unless it's backed by God himself. Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Some of you might be sitting in here tonight feeling like you have no might, but he will increase strength for you. If you feel weak tonight, he will increase strength in your life, over your life, through your life. It's a matter of you saying, God, I need help, and he'll give grace to the humble. When you humble yourself to God and say, God, I'm admitting my weakness. I'm not going to cover this up. And sometimes it's liberating as Christians just to stand up and say, you know what? I'm weak. Confess it. Tell another person, I'm weak. I feel like I'm falling apart in my walk with God, and we go through those times. And yet, again, we put on a very good mask. We're very good at doing that. We're very good at walking in the door and, how you doing tonight? Oh, I'm great. I'm really good. You know, God is good. God blesses. And we can say all the cliche things we want, and those things might be true, but sometimes inwardly we're suffering. Inwardly we're battling and we're afraid. We're living in fear to step out and say, man, I'm going through something. And I've learned if I'm going through something, I don't need to put on a happy face. I'm going to say, man, I'm going through it. But you know what? God's faithful. God is with me. He's going to see me through this whole thing. And if we could just get real a little bit, let's get real. Can we get real in here tonight? And as God presents an opportunity for people to be prayed over, can you get real? Can you stop worrying about what people are going to think if you respond to an altar call? And I say this because I've done it probably a million times. Sit out there and they say something and you're like, man, I need to go up. I should probably go up and get prayed for. But man, what are they going to think of me? People might judge me. People might think I'm less spiritual if I go up and do that. And that's where we get dead in religion when we do that. So if God's calling you, man, as we get into some prayer time tonight, if God is moving in your heart and you need his power for something, it can be anything, please don't hesitate. Get up here. Continuing on, Isaiah 40, verse 30. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. That's interesting, because what this is kind of saying is, even if you're strong, a young man, you think of a young man, you think of somebody that's healthy and in shape and strong and can kind of handle everything for themselves. He's saying even you, so pretty much what he's saying is even those that think they're strong and think they're good, even those ones are going to grow a little bit weary and faint from time to time. 31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Again, we have to go back to the source. As soon as we step into a place of thinking that we have it figured out, and we step into a place of thinking that it's our power or our hand that's producing something good in this life, we've missed it. And we have to get back to the place of saying, Holy Spirit, you're my source. You're my source of strength. God, the Father, you're my source of strength. Jesus, you're my source of strength. It's you three together that are my source of strength. And I need to come to you. I can't do this apart from you. So what is God really saying through all of these scriptures here? One, you could say that he's saying that there's strength for the weary. But the main thing, if you see through all of this, is what he's saying when he asks all those questions leading up into verse 30 and 31. He's really saying, there's nobody like me. There is nobody like me. That's the big thought that's being implied through those scriptures. Because who has counseled me? Who has held the water in the hollow of their hands? Who has weighed out the mountains with scales? None of us have. So what he's saying is, there's nobody like me. And because there's nobody like me, you need to come to me when you're weak, because there is nobody like me. And I will pour out and shower you with grace and with power in your time of need. And when you feel like throwing in the towel of being a Christian, Jesus is there for you. Amen? Jesus is there for you. He's not going to reject us. It says he's not going to leave us or forsake us. He's not going to leave us to our own selves. He's right there with us, man. 1 John 2:6 pretty much says this. If you claim to be in Christ, you need to walk as he did. If you claim to be in Christ, you should be walking as Jesus walked. Now, you could take a lot out of that. You could take a ton out of that verse. The one thought that came to me in reference to this whole message was Luke 4:14. And it said, after that Jesus was tempted of Satan, he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit and began to preach and began to heal and began to do all those things. because the power, because the anointing of God was on his life to carry out his ministry. And that's Jesus. And we say, well, that's Jesus. Well, that's not me. Jesus is Jesus. Jesus was God. Yeah, he was still in the flesh, wasn't he? And yet he resisted. He never sinned. He was perfect in what he did. And I know for a fact, because of Scripture, that it was because of the power of the Holy Spirit in his life operating. And so Jesus walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we take that Scripture and say that we should be walking as Jesus walked, well, he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, so we should too. As God fills us up and displays his power through our lives, let us not forget the source. Again, we got to go back to the source. Whenever we're running empty and feeling weary and about to faint and giving up in our Christianity, we have to go back to the source, the power source. We have to go back to him. If you got to go back to him crawling on your hands and knees, do it. He's going to welcome you with open arms. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the power again of whose might? His might. It's his might. It's the only way we can be strong is because of his might working in us. We stand, we endure, we press on. We take hold of the word of God. We stand firm against temptation because of that power, because of the word of God, because God's power sustains us as Christians. That we can stand in this generation. It says that we're living in a crooked, in a depraved generation. And we can stand as holy and blameless men and women of God because of the power of God working in us and that alone. Hebrews 1:3 says that he is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact imprint of his nature. And it says he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He upholds the universe. The universe. Did you get that? The universe. He holds it together by the word of his power. And yet so often we belittle the power of God in our lives. Yet we have to be reminded he's holding this universe together. This world is intact. The earth is intact. The stars, the sun, the moon, all the planets, the galaxies are all intact because of his word. Now, as I was led to this scripture this morning in my prayer time, I started to think, man, his word, there's power in his word. His word is holding all of this together. And so I started to pray and I started to say, God, I got some weakness in me. I've got some things in my life that need to go, that aren't lining up with your word. And God, as your word holds this universe together because of your power, Lord, would you speak a word over me? Would you speak a word over my sin? Would you speak a word over the things I struggle with? Because it's your word, God, that can handle it. There's nothing I can do in myself to overcome the temptation, to overcome the sin that tries to take you over. It's only by the word of his power. And so, God, speak a word over me tonight. I hope that's your prayer. God, speak a word over the weakness in my life. And that's my prayer. God, speak a word over this congregation tonight. Speak a word over their weakness in the name of Jesus. Speak a word of strength where we're weak. Speak a word of deliverance where we're bound up. Speak a word of peace where we're anxious. Speak a word of love where we're hateful. Speak a word of forgiveness where there's bitterness. And speak a word of power where we have grown tired. Flip over to Isaiah 41, and we're going to close with this. Isaiah 41. Verses 8 through 10. Have you ever heard somebody say, I just can't seem to hold it together? Or in other words, I'm falling apart. Have you heard, I've probably said that. Man, I feel like I'm spinning out of control. I can't hold all this together. I can't handle all this. And we've probably said it. We've heard people say it. We've heard people say, I'm falling apart. What do I do? I don't know how to get through this. But again, be reminded, he holds this all together. Let's read Isaiah 41, 8 through 10. And we have to be reminded of who God is tonight and how awesome his power is. And that power is available to us as believers. It says in verse 8, Isaiah 41, 8, but you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Let me say this to you tonight, that when God chose you, each one of you, he knew what he was getting into. You know that? He didn't make a mistake when he chose you at all. And sometimes we feel guilty and condemned and we think we're worthless and we think, God, how could you even care about me? Well, he chose you. He chose you. He didn't make a bad decision when he chose you. Someone needs to hear that tonight. He did not make a bad decision when he chose you. Did you get it? Did you get that? He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was getting into. He knew what your life was going to turn out to be. He knew the times that you'd walk away from him. He knew the times you'd come crawling back. He knew it all. He knew it all before he ever said, hey, come on into my kingdom. He knew what he was going to get. Think of it, Peter. He knew what he was doing when he called Peter. And Peter was a great man of faith and went on to be one of the greatest apostles, yet he had his moments of weakness. He denied Christ. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, yet he chose him. And how often do we play the role of Judas? We betray Christ through our actions. And it's because we try to walk in our own strength. If we try to walk in our own strength, we're walking in weakness. Amen? So again, you might be in a place tonight, but verse 10, Isaiah 41, 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And right there, just as he upholds the universe by the word of his power, he will uphold us with his righteous right hand. Isn't that awesome? He holds the universe together, and yet he chooses something so magnificent as the universe. We look sometimes on sunsets and on beaches and on the oceans, and we see that, and we're like awed by it. It's beautiful, or mountain ranges, and God created all of that. But you know what? All of that's great and all, but he looks at us even more precious than all of that. So the things that we look on with our own eyes and we're awed by, God looks on us, and he's awed by that more. Isn't that nuts? That's nuts, man. And he upholds us with his hand. And I just want, I don't know if somebody's going to play music or whatever. Yeah. I will, absolutely. And I want to just give a little bit of time tonight. I don't know if there's people, some of the leaders that could come pray. But man, if this in any way spoke to you and you feel like, man, I need to get prayed for, I just felt the Lord tell me, like, before I came up, if anybody responds, to pray for every single person. So hopefully it's not everybody. Is that bad to say? Hopefully it's not. We'll be here all night. We'll have the mall security kicking us out. But I want to pray for you. Let me read this word again. I will sustain my church through the trial that lies ahead. Men's hearts will fail due to fear, but I will never fail. Make my son's arms your place of refuge. And shelter, and you will never go astray. Sin and wickedness shall increase in the earth, but so shall my spirit be poured out in greater measure. I'm searching for those that are willing to empty their hearts of self so that I may fill their cup. Take a hold of my promises and let them be your life support. Anxiety shall become like weight on the hearts of men. You are called to cast your cares on me because I care for you. I am preparing a church to be spotless and blameless at my coming. It is time for extreme measures to be taken in order to pursue holiness. If you are willing to take this risk, I am willing to empower you to carry it out. Amen. So I just, like I said, if you can come up, you can come up. You don't have to. If you want to pray in your seat, I want to take a moment to let people respond and just see what God wants to do. And I believe that God wants to fill you people up, man. He wants to pour out his power in your life. And if you're facing something, if you're going through a test, a trial of your faith, you have to understand that God is with you through this whole thing, and he will grant you what you need to get through it. And that's it.